handles Advent for a child. Remember, during Advent, we've been working through part one of the Messiah. Who brought their Messiahs today? I had heard rumblings that somebody was planning on bringing it today, but I'm covering my face so I can't see them, because I believe they forgot. So they're not going to be able to sing along. I was so hoping that we could do a trio on For Unto Us. Anyway, as you know, we've worked through the first part, and we've done three main sections. Remember that it opens up, and remember, this is Handel's central challenge before I get there. Handel's central challenge: how do you tell the story of Jesus? Where do you start the story of Jesus? You can start the night he was born. Do you start with the prophecies that he's going to be born? Do you start with the need for the prophecies that he's going to be born? Do you start all the way at the beginning of time? All of those are possibilities. In fact, there's even another possibility. Do you just start when he's baptized, which is what Mark does? Surprise! There he is, walking full grown, my age. Probably a lot thinner, and with long hair and a bigger nose and darker skin. You can start the story there, too. Where do you start the story? Handel begins with the prophets, and he begins with a friendly prophecy, a prophecy of comfort for those who are distressed, for those who are worried about all of the oppression that Israel has been going on or been putting up with. Comfort ye my people. But it's not all sunshine and lollipops and rainbows like we talked about. Then the bass comes in and reminds us that there are some reasons why the Israelites have been oppressed, that they're being punished for some of their past sins. The bass asks, but who may abide the day of his coming? For he is like a refiner's fire, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Last week, though, we moved from those prophecies, the kind of distant prophecies, into the moment of Jesus' conception, when Mary's pregnancy began. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Handel will never quote directly John 1:1. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, and then verse 5 of that, and the Logos was the light of the world. That is God's reasoning, God's rationale, God's logic, God's speech, God's words, God's Son, the light of the world. Handel will never quote that directly, but he points to it in what we started with last week and what we come back to this week, which is the rest of Mary's pregnancy and the birth. Let me turn to the right page. After the chorus has sat down, O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, the bass stands up again. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, which is the King James of where we began our lesson this morning, in Isaiah 9. But more important is the aria that follows that. The people that walked in darkness. It would help if I stayed on the right line, wouldn't it? The people that walked in darkness, that walked in darkness. I'm not a bass, you can tell. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have seen a great light, have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, on them hath the light shined. Handel repeats that and repeats it. He wants it to be crystal clear. Again, why is Jesus being born? Why is God sending a Messiah? To bring us out of darkness. To bring the people out of darkness. Some of it a self-imposed darkness. Some of it a darkness that has come as punishment for some of their other sins. But it points towards that. Reminding us again that Christ is the light of the world. But we talked about Christ the light last Sunday. So I want to move on to the moment of Christ's birth, which in the Messiah is number 12, a chorus, which all of you could probably sing along with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There are two main ways, I think, that we as Christians can talk about the moment of Jesus' birth. One of them is in Matthew, and one of them is in Luke. Handel puts both of them in the Messiah. This morning, we're going to talk about, for unto us a child is born. Christmas Eve night, we're going to talk about the other way. This way, for unto us a child is born, is recognizing that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, God's chosen one, all majesty and honor and glory and everything else, all exaltation you can give to Jesus, that baby. But it's not really a baby. He is it. He's everything and everything in everything. But on that night of nights, of course, he also was just a tiny newborn baby shivering in the cold. We'll talk about the tiny newborn baby shivering in the cold Thursday night, because that's when Handel gets to it. But he's built up. He's gone from prophecy to prophecy to prophecy. So when he gets to the moment of Christ's birth, he doesn't use the moment that we get in Luke, which we heard in the first lesson this morning. And Mary gave birth to her newborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I'm not sure how he would have written a melody for that. It's a little awkward in the NRSV. It's awkward in the NIV. It's awkward in the King James. It's beautiful and we know the cadence of it, but it'd been hard to set it to music. And it doesn't quite get across what Handel wants to get across, the majesty of that moment. He's built up to it because the Israelite people had built up to it for 4 centuries. The history of the world from our eyes had led up to that moment when Christ was born. And so just saying, and Mary gave birth and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room in the inn, while true and while important, doesn't quite get across the majesty of the moment. The fact that this is not just a baby, delicate and meek and mild, being born, but Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Chosen One. And so instead, Handel reaches back into the prophet Isaiah and gives us one of the great prophecies of the Messiah. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And of course, in that, the chorus goes back and forth, and each voice part, the sopranos start, and then the tenors, and then the altos, and then the basses, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. They pair up, the sopranos and tenors, and the altos and basses, and they sing those together, but at different times. And then, when Handel wants to make the point, what's most important in the song, the whole chorus joins together and sings at the same time, and his name shall be called Wonderful, ba-da-da-da-da-da, Counselor, bum-bum-bum-bum-bum, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the point of the song for Handel. That's the punchline of the prophecy. Yes, for unto us a child is born, but what's important about the child? Not that he's a baby, not that he's born, but who he is. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A king beyond all imagining. Pick your favorite ruler. Take Napoleon. Take George Washington. Take King Tut. Take the richest and most powerful ruler you can ever imagine. Bigger. More than that. Jesus doesn't just have one Air Force One. He's got 10 of them. And they're much larger than that piddly thing that our president flies around in. Think think of all the wealth. If you've ever been to London and seen the crown jewels, all the wealth that's in that museum. Oh, they can't build buildings big enough for all the wealth the King of Kings has, the Prince of Peace. That's what this is getting at. That's what we're celebrating. I don't know that I need to do much more than just repeat that. That's what we're celebrating. So as I've been thinking about this week, I worry sometimes. Because I realize, as I'm sure you do, probably better than I do, when you hear what I'm about to say, when you have a baby, there's so much hope that goes into that. When you hold a newborn baby in your arms, there is a life that is so filled with promise and possibility. And for many parents, and for those of us who aren't parents, but who are uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, neighbors and friends, teachers, pastors, a lot of expectations, a lot of things we hope for those children. We want them to be better educated than we ever were. We want them to not have to work quite as hard, or at least quite as menially, as we did. We want them to have, how do we often say it, better than we had. We want to give them every opportunity we can possibly afford. And we also want to make sure that when they grow up, they get a job right out of college, and it pays six figures. And we want them to live in a nice home at age 25 and marry the right spouse and start in on their kids. And we want them to live, well, not right next door to us, but not too far away. We have those expectations. We don't always tell ourselves what those expectations are, but we have them. And we put them all on the shoulders of those little babies when they're born. All the possibility and the promise, but yes, also our expectations. I mention that because no baby was ever born that had the expectations Christ had placed on his shoulders. I'm convinced of that, that never in the history of the world was so much placed on one person. Ever. I mean, here it is. The moment of this baby's birth in the cold, not even in a bed, not even in a proper building. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. O you that have walked in darkness, he's the light. You that are despairing, he is your comfort. O Israel and Judah, hear the great tidings of joy. The moment we've all been waiting for has come. It's this baby. No baby has ever had more on his shoulders. And day by day, and I don't know how, except that he was the Son of God, he bore it. Usually when we talk about Jesus bearing things, and later in the Messiah, surely he has borne our griefs and our transgressions. We think of Jesus bearing our mistakes, our sins, and Jesus does that. But Jesus took all kinds of expectations on his shoulders, not just the ones that allow us, through grace, to be saved, the ones that allow everybody in the world to be saved throughout all of history. The promise of everything we've ever hoped for, or our ancestors ever hoped for. A new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, a new temple, the priesthood restored, the line of David restored, prosperity and riches, land flowing with milk and honey, lion laying down with lamb, spears bent into plowshares, and pruning hooks. All of that was put on Jesus' shoulders too, on that little baby. And somehow, every day of his life, he bore it. Greater expectations than you or I will ever know, thankfully, Jesus bore it. He bore it with humility, and he bore it with peace. He bore it with wisdom, and above all, he bore it with love. Every day. So I will not dissuade any of us from recognizing Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, because indeed the Scripture tells us that that is what and who Jesus is. But sometimes I can't help but wonder at what he took on himself every day for us and how he carried it. I don't often say, what would Jesus do? Because I think that's usually an irrelevant question for us. Because however good or bad you and I may be, we are not Jesus. And we are not called to live exactly as Jesus did, because he had a different job than us. But boy, how much more grateful we will be, and how much more awestruck we will be at the wonder and love of God if we remember and ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? Not just the cross, though the cross is the crux of it, but all of it, from the moment of his birth, when the weight of the world was put on his tiny shoulders, and he bore it. And he showed us, for our good times and our bad times, how we might bear it. The expectations that we bear, which sometimes I know feel like the weight of the world. And some days may even be close to the weight of the world. But we're never close to the weight that he bore. Ah, it's a wonderful week. It is a wonderful week this week. I hope you come back Thursday night. Because then we'll not just say Jesus is born, but then we'll get to celebrate with the shepherds and the angels. You and I, we commoners, we'll get to gather around the manger and praise God. But I think that's enough for today. Any questions? Comments? Arguments? Amen.